radio broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Daniel, and we're in chapter 2. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. Let's go over to Daniel chapter 2 this morning. Daniel chapter 2, this is a run-in from last week's message. You know, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. And I wanted you to recognize that this scenario you and I are in today, where they're trying to press you left and right to do things that are really maybe troubling to you in your scruples from what you see in Scripture coming with the last days, as well as other times where people did not want to defile themselves, knowing that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, things of that nature, hearing things, seeing things, wanting to take your time. They're not letting you do that. And so you need to recognize this is not an unusual circumstance. It's not just America. It's everywhere in the world right now. But it's also been done in the past. And so we wanted to kind of review some of the things that these Hebrew children really did have a handle on. And that purposing in the heart was something that really has to be done. You and I are in a generation where we've been able to go at life from the seat of our pants, just kind of, you know, feet never touching the ground. I talk about, man, we go through life. It's fast. It's quick. And sometimes we don't want to make a commitment. Marriage is on a hard times because people don't want to get married. People don't have the heart to join churches, things of that nature. It can have repercussions on many levels. And it does. It does. It's the way we are. We're geared toward becoming a lot more isolated. You know, I touch no one and no one touches me kind of thing. So we feel that this is really an encroachment. And it is. Okay, it's an overreach by the government. But I think it's important for us to remind ourselves that others have faced that in biblical times. And so when we come to chapter 2, we're seeing that Daniel and his friends were 10 times better than anybody else in the room after they did what they should do. And I don't know if you really could take away at the end of the time last week we were together, but Daniel and his friends were said to have had countenances that were fatter and fairer. You see, when you do what's right, you have a shine in your face. When you do what's right, you feel spiritually self-assured, and you have a relationship with your world that has a new hue to it. You begin to realize that maybe there was something God wanted out of me, and when I took my stand to do the things I needed to do, I felt good about it, even though the outcome might not have been everything we wanted it to be. We're going to see these Hebrews get different circumstances. Daniel's friends are going to be thrown into a fiery furnace. They didn't know whether the Lord was going to get them out of it, but they were willing to go there. This country was founded by men who said, we pledge our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. You know, they're willing to give it all up. And God would have the church that is the bride of His Son. He would have us be people who are a pure, chaste, a virgin, consecrated unto Him, and ready for His return at any time. And so we have to be really circumspect about each step we take. When we come to chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 1, in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep brake from him. Literally, he was startled awake. The break is like, whoa, it was like it totally startled him, took his breath away. In verse 2, it says, then the king commanded all the magicians and astrologers and sorcerers and Chaldeans, he says, for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. You can almost see him on his bed. Bring him now, everybody. He's sitting on the edge of his bed, still in his bedclothes, possibly. We don't know, but it seems like this was a matter of great importance and import to him. And he wanted to address it while he was still capable to remember what he had been seeing and thinking about. And the Bible says, he said to them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king, saying, live forever, O king. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show you the interpretation. The king answered and said, this thing is gone from me. If you will not make known to me the dream and the interpretation thereof, then I'll cut you all in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. This was a bad day for them, okay? They were like, whoa, what just happened here? It's like picking up a hot plate, you know, whoa, what happened? Well, what we do have here is some things we need to unpack just a little bit before we move on. First of all, I want to address something that is becoming more and more prominent in our day, and it's the dreaming of dreams. People are talking about their dreaming dreams. There's a man who has dreamed some things about two presidents, and it's floating around the internet. There's all these kind of things that are out there that are going on, and people are just falling for it head over heels. It's like, oh, dreams and dreamers and all of this stuff, and we have to be mindful that this is that kind of time we're living in, where everybody's looking for an answer, everybody's looking for an insight, everybody's looking for something to make sense. You may recall the famous words of Martin Luther, "I have a dream." And so we understand some people have a dream and it means that they have a vision of something that can be. He's not talking prophetically. But in the scriptures, there are sometimes the misuse of passages. You may have heard this verse used out of context. Where there is no vision, the people perish. You ever heard that? And then they'll say, we've got this vision, we're going to build this complex and we're going to do... That's not what that verse is talking about. The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. There are a lot of countries that don't have any word from God at all because they're either oppressed or they're Muslim or they're atheists, like the communistic worlds of maybe the Chinese and perhaps up in Russia where they've been, just kind of neutered as far as anything to do with God comes into play. So here we have this verse that's saying, where there is no vision, the people perish. And again, it's not talking about visions and dreams. It's talking about the law of God. That's the other half of the verse that identifies for us what he's talking about. We have the law. It says, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. We have the Word of God. We have the Word of God. I don't need somebody dreaming something, especially when I look at some of these folks. I understand when I see them after a little bit of time that there's something askew. There's something missing. My spirit doesn't identify with them. And then they let fly some swear words. And the next thing you know, there's a little bit of just talking about, well, maybe Jesus wasn't who he said he was. You keep following these people and you're going to end up in a ditch. These people are ungodly, they're unsaved, and they are demonically possessed. People can have visions. People can have dreams. And the devil's not stupid. He can tease things out a lot better than the average person. So just because somebody has a dream does not make them legitimate, even if the dream comes true. In fact, the Bible actually says as much when it says in Deuteronomy 13, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder come to pass, whereof he then says to you, he says, let us go after other gods. Right now, the God of America is patriotism. Much of the world is caught up in a patriotic kind of a spirit with regard to America because we're the last man standing. We're the ones who aren't being forced to wear masks, which is interesting because about a third of the people I see out there are still wearing masks, even in their cars. And I saw a guy riding down the road with his bicycle the other day with his mask on. I'm like, really? Come on. You know, I'm just saying this is a world that is constantly looking for some measure of hope. And the people who are still backing off of everything, they're still nervous. There's something going on here. We're in a time where God has pulled back his head. We're being battered right now. And if you don't understand that, you're not paying attention because our country is under attack. Our supply lines, you know, our churches are struggling. People are not able to function. Some people are their marriages are falling apart because they're quitting their jobs or they're losing their jobs and they're fighting and their kids are being abused because they're fighting and they're hitting their kids. This crazy world is in a little bit of an upheaval. And we're looking at a fall coming now where this thing is, Delta thing they're talking about, is evidently supposed to make its reemergence with a little bit more of a vengeance. But the bottom line is that this is a beatable disease. It is survivable even if you don't take medication 99% of the time. If you don't take anything, you know, overwhelming. It's all smoke and mirrors. It will kick you around, but it won't kill you 99% of the time if you're under the age of 70. Actually, it is under the age of 70. Up above that, comorbidities, and you have no comorbidities. I'm just telling you what you already know. And what I want you to understand, we want some hope. And people wanting hope will be willing to look anywhere for it. And the Bible says there's going to be a chance for the devil to step up into the midst of that vacuum, and he's going to send in there some people with dreams. I'm actually hearing people talking about remote viewing. I've heard people say, well, yeah, remote viewing. I was there and I saw this. And people are just, they're leaning on the edge of their seat saying, I'm going to listen to that. Now listen, one of the things that is very tempting for humanity is this lure for knowledge and power. We want to know. We want to experience. We want to feel. We want to be able to tell other people what's true. Now listen, my faith is on the written word of God. That's my resting place. When I go back to it time and time again, it's always alive. It's always available. The Bible talks about times that would come in Israel. It says, when they say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God? For the living, unto the dead? That's how he wrote it. It's like, really? Is that what? For the living, unto the dead? People do that. They read their horoscope, they go to tarot cards, they're involved in all kinds of silliness. But the Bible tells us that we need to recognize it is at that time in Isaiah 8 that we should ask for the old paths. Go back to the old paths, the ancient ways. We've been singing a couple of the older hymns recently, some that you were familiar with. I saw smiles playing at the sides of some of your mouths when we were singing, it is no secret what God can do. And maybe you remember that from years past. But I'm telling you guys, this is where the comfort is. It's a warm, comfortable blanket to do the things that we're familiar with in God's economy, because God's economy is a good economy. It works. The Bible talks about what to do with these people who come who are dreamers of dreams. Back to Deuteronomy 13, the Bible says that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death. You say, we're supposed to stone them? No, that was Israel's job. They were a society. Deuteronomy is a law written with ordinances and laws. Okay, it's sort of like turning red on red. The entire Pentateuch is written as the way to run the nation. It gives you the codes, you know, the ordinances, if you will. Things that you need to do, like certain dietary things, certain ways of taking care of waste, certain things to do if somebody's sick. If there's some growth in the wall at your house, you go call the priest. He comes in like the health department. He says, oh, let's close it up for a few days. We'll come back and see how it's doing. If it's spreading, we'll say, close it up again. We'll look again. And it's just ordinances. It's all about running, listen, a nation. Not running everybody's lives. It's just running a nation. And it made Israel a peculiar people because they had an entire code of behavior and expectation for their people. And sometimes people did things that were evil and they needed to be dealt with decidedly, as with a death penalty. Whether it was a murder, they were to be stoned with stones. If whoever sheds man's blood must by man have his blood be shed. We understand now a little bit more the context. But for you and for me, we can take the principle away, can't we? If somebody is out there telling dreams and telling visions, and the next thing you know, they're swearing and they're saying Jesus isn't God, and they're saying, you know, God's on our side on one side of their mouth, and on the other side they're saying other things. You should be able to discern that, beloved. In fact, stay away from it altogether. But if you're looking for some hope beyond what is in the Word of God, you're going to fall into a ditch if you're not careful. The Bible says, let them be dead to you. Okay, that's how I would take the principle. If you hear somebody like that, don't go listening to them anymore, even if you like what they're saying, because that's where the devil gets people. The Bible says, in the last days, people are going to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, not willing to endure sound doctrine. So they're going to go for what itches their ears. Oh, that feels good. Oh, yeah. Oh, a little over the side. You know, they want to hear it just like they want to hear it. Tell me what I want to hear. Tell me it's going to be okay. I'll tell you what's going to happen. Jesus is going to come and the rapture is going to come and we're going to be out of here before it gets too dicey. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.